Something I fundamentally believe is that if you want to do anything in this world, especially in biology, bacteria have probably figured out how to do it first and how to do it better than you can.
Welcome to the podcast. This is season 2 of Indie Bio Killer of the Week. It's your host, Wesley Dang. For those of you who are new and don't know what Killer of the Week is, it's an internal weekly competition within our program where our Indie Bio cohort members compete head-to-head to see who has made the most progress in the past 7 days. I've got a special treat for you. This week, we have the CEO of a biotech called Laguna Bio with probably one of the most experienced first-time entrepreneurs, right? First-time entrepreneur that we've ever had. Name is Jonathan Kutula. And Jonathan, what is your background?
I've been in biotech now for about 10 years. I have a PhD from Duke in molecular genetics and microbiology. I did a postdoc at Harvard in Pam Silver's lab doing synthetic biology, which was manipulating the genomes of bacteria and using that to learn how bacteria interact with the host and then develop diagnostics and therapeutics from that.
And so Laguna Bio is drawing off some of that work right now, right?
Yeah, we are building a company around the idea of how bacteria interact with the immune system. Now, something I fundamentally believe is that if you want to do anything in this world, especially in biology, bacteria have probably figured out how to do it first and how to do it better than you can. And that's so incredibly true when it comes to interacting with our immune system, because our immune system has evolved to really precisely recognize and deal with threats like bacterial or viral or fungal infections. And so one of the things that's really exciting and what we're tapping into is the ability of a very specific pathogen called Listeria to interact with and excite and expand a specific part of the immune system called gamma delta T cells.
So because I know the future of where this podcast is going, I'm going to direct it a little bit. And so there are a lot of players here because you are, you know, working with bacteria, there's an immune system, and then there's like what you're using it all for, which is cancer. So why don't we just start with like the end thing that you're targeting, which is cancer. Why do we have cancer?
Yeah, that's a really, really hard question. And one of the reasons that cancer develops is that all throughout our entire lives, cancer cells are developing. And being dealt with, being killed by our immune system. And so when people have developed cancer that has grown into a tumor that's now advanced to a late stage, one of the things that's almost always true is that the immune cell has been depleted or exhausted, and it's receiving those depletion or exhausted signals from the cancer cells.
Interesting. This whole time I thought cancer was just all about like, one rogue cell just got the wrong mutation, and then it just divides without the body checking it. But it sounds like maybe we're constantly getting cancer, and our body, our immune system is always killing off cancers, and that's why they don't grow. Is that kind of how I should think of it?
Yeah, that's largely believed to be true. Is that, I think in your description is in some ways true. It always starts with one rogue cell, but it's very rarely and probably never just one rogue mutation. It's a combination of mutations that allow it both to escape the checkpoints that lead to unchecked growth, and then also mutations that lead to this signal of telling the immune cells, hey, don't kill me. I'm not the cancer cell you're looking for. And then additional mutations that continually tell the immune system, hey, you know, turn down, stay away. You don't need to be messing with me. And that leads to broad immune cell depletion, deactivation, and exhaustion.
I want to go back to what you said about what your approach is to reinvigorate. Would that be the right word? Supercharge?
Yeah, absolutely. So we use, as I said, Listeria, which is a very potent pathogen, to reinvigorate and recharge the immune system that has been exhausted or depleted by cancer cells. So Listeria is a very potent intracellular pathogen, and what that means is it can invade your cells and then spread from cell to cell. In doing that, it generates all of the signals necessary for creating a very strong immune response. And those signals are cell damage, pattern recognition, and the patterns just mean a viral or bacteria. They look different to our immune system than our own cells. And then a specific antigen. And so by invading into one cell, Listeria cause cell damage, which is a huge alarm bell when that's also coupled with a bacterial pattern. So those two things alone activate what's known as the innate immune system. And it's just like a four-alarm alert across the entire body. Hey, something's wrong. The immune system needs to be mobilized, activated, awaken, grow, activate, expand more cells. On top of that, Listeria also generates an antigen called a phosphoantigen, which is key to activating and being that final straw, that last signal for gamma delta T cells, that now they've expanded, there are a lot of them, and they're looking for something. This antigen says, now this is what you're looking for. Now go out and destroy all of the cells that have Listeria invading them. Now we do two tricks then to make this a safe and effective cancer therapy. The first is to make Listeria, this incredibly potent pathogen, safe. And we do that by making changes to its genome, deleting genes that are responsible for its ability to grow and spread. And so this organism now can only enter one cell, and those are immune cells that it can, and that's very important because these are a type of immune cell that tell and alert and awaken the rest of the immune system to the problem. So by doing that, these bacteria cannot grow in the blood, they can't grow in the gut, they can't grow in implants, they can't grow anywhere else in the body, they can't cause an infection, but they still look incredibly potent and dangerous to the immune system, which is key to the expansion and activation. So that was trick one. Trick two is these cells that have been activated and expanded are now on the lookout for cells that have been invaded by Listeria, and we want them to be on the lookout for cancer cells. And so we deliver what's called a bispecific antibody, and these are antibodies that can bind to two different cells. On one side, they recognize a specific piece of a cancer cell. On the other side, they recognize an activation signal on immune cells. So by delivering bispecific antibodies, this now attracts all of those activated and expanded gamma delta T cells that are looking for Listeria, and now attracts them to a tumor and leads to very specific and very potent, robust, and durable killing of the tumor.
Okay, so that is a lot, and I want to make sure our listeners can really picture what is going on here. So let's see if we can paint this picture. Everyone close your eyes, unless you're driving. On the right side, we got the cancer cells, right? That's the final target, okay? And so to actually target the cancer cells only and not anything else, you need these bispecific antibodies, right?
That target the cancer cells,
but also target your immune cells that go and kill the cancer target, right?
That's right.
You got those three players on stage. And then you have your Listeria, which is what activates the immune system. So step one, have Listeria. Step two, activate immune system. Step three, that immune system targets to the antibodies, which step four, target the cancer cells.
That's exactly right.
Okay, got it. I'm so glad that I got. But okay, so I have a question, which is like, I think it's pretty interesting that you said Listeria is an intracellular bacteria, which is pretty rare, right? I really don't see bacteria entering and invading cells.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It is. It's one of the few bacterial pathogens that are considered intracellular pathogens.
Okay. And so why Listeria and not other bacteria? Is it because of the invading?
Yeah, that's an incredibly, incredibly good question. And it is, we believe, due to the invading. So there are only a very small number of pathogens that we know of that activate this gamma delta T cell response. And Listeria, we believe, is the most potent, the most effective at generating a very strong and very long-lasting durable response. And Listeria is also an organism that's very amenable to manipulation and control. And one of our co-founders, Dan Portnoy, is a professor that has spent his entire career studying how Listeria interacts with the immune system, and also how you can make very careful and specific genetic changes to manipulate how it interacts with the immune system and how it can grow within the body.
Interesting. And then I want to double click on what you said around gamma delta T cells. And actually, I just want to double click on just that word in general, because I think, you know, before meeting you, I had no idea what a gamma delta T cell is. Lots of, you know, different kinds of T cells and immune cells with different Greek names out there. But this is one that even if I Googled it, I couldn't even find a lot of information. Like, I don't think I could even find it in a college or even maybe even a graduate level textbook right now, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair. They are a fairly newly described immune cell. I think the first time they were ever described was in the 80s. And even then, they were thought to be not all that important because there just aren't very many of them in the peripheral blood. And often how we study the immune system is what's in the peripheral blood and what's responding to different types of infection. So these intracellular pathogens, these listeria, these infections are incredibly rare. And gamma delta T cell response to these pathogens is also something that has developed late in evolutionary history, perhaps in apes and above. And so when we typically study these things in mice, for example, gamma delta T cells would not be a major player and would not be something that people study and understand often. So it's only in our ability to really understand what's going on in human biology and through human studies and through kind of single cell sequencing of immune cells that we can really understand why gamma delta T cells are important. And all of those advances have really come about in the last 10 to 15 years, which is why the understanding of these cells has really only reached the point of excitement recently.
Wow. I didn't know that it was so late in the in evolution that it doesn't show up in mice. That makes studying it kind of hard.
It makes studying it extremely hard. Mice do have gamma delta T cells, but not the same type as humans, and they don't respond to pathogens in the same way. It's a key difference in immunobiology between mice and humans.
Interesting. So recapping again, we have these players. We have the listeria, activates the immune system, homes to the antibodies, bispecific antibodies, which home to the cancer cells.
That's right.
Are you also making the bispecific antibodies?
So long term, our plan is absolutely to make the bispecific antibodies because we think we can have the biggest impact possible by both having a platform of listeria that activates the immune system and bispecific antibodies that target different tumors. However, the most efficient path towards helping patients today is working with the hundreds of bispecific antibodies that exist today. And to do that, we need to work with the companies that are developing those antibodies and show that our approach of using listeria to activate the immune system leads to better outcomes than using those bispecific antibodies alone.
Okay, so you basically have this biological adjuvant. Like, you are making what, if other people have bispecific antibodies as assets, you are making those assets better because you're generating a robust immune response.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so I see a very clear incentive for your partners to partner with you. And that, I think, leads us now to why you won Killer of the Week last week. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are pursuing these research collaborations and partnerships with big pharma companies that are the leaders in the field of immunotherapy and the leaders in the field of developing bispecific antibodies against cancer targets. And so we had been having some really preliminary discussions with one of the top three pharma companies in the world in immuno-oncology. And those discussions led to a point where we felt really confident that we were going to have access to one of their antibodies that work in vivo animal models. So we went into this conversation ready to talk about that. In the process of the discussion, the research team at this company got very excited about our approach, and we proposed to them, we should try using a human version of this antibody instead of this one that could be used in an in vivo animal model, because that would be the most appropriate example or model of how our listeria can improve the efficacy of existing bispecific antibodies. They were so excited about our approach and the data that we had shared to them so far that they agreed that that would be the best next step. And they also shared with us that they have been developing a bispecific antibody against a different tumor that hadn't come up in discussions yet. It's a type of cancer called colorectal cancer. And they shared that they had this antibody that they have been developing that's not hitting their benchmarks. It's not as effective as they hoped it would be to this point. And that they would be willing to share this antibody with us And if our approach could show boost in efficacy, that could be the first step towards really meaningful partnership discussions where long-term, our goal would be for them to run a human study using our Listeria with this antibody in a colorectal cancer model. And what's really exciting, if that's not already exciting enough, what was really exciting for us is that the serendipity of all of this is that we did not share with them, but we have very strong evidence to believe that our approach is going to be most effective in a colorectal tumor cancer model. And so that's where we were hoping to go first in solid cancers regardless.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that actually. So you went in talking with this top three pharma hoping to, you know, get some mice to test your quote-unquote adjuvant with, your Listeria with. And then they got so excited that they're like, let's do this in humans at some point. So they are willing now to do a preliminary test to see if it works with, like, what, cell culture, mouse work, and then go into humans?
Exactly right. Yeah. So they're going to share their antibodies with us, and they're also going to share their expertise to make sure that we set up the in vitro cell culture, the in vitro human cell culture properly, and we can evaluate it there. And then there are also mouse models that recapitulate the human immune system and recapitulate human tumors. And they're going to help us set those up as well and test our approach with their antibody in these mouse models, which will be the first step then in showing, in proving our therapeutic approach and in validating our therapeutic approach.
And I like what you said around, like, they have these antibodies that just don't quite meet their benchmarks. And I'm assuming that a lot of pharma companies do have a lot of these bispecific antibodies that don't hit their benchmark. And if they don't do anything about it, then they're just going to be sunk cost in R&D and it's just going to sit on a shelf somewhere. And they've just dumped a couple million dollars in developing that. So the incentive is, like, super clear if they can just, like, partner with you, do an extra experiment where, you know, they can get it above that threshold and make, I don't know how much pharma makes, but I kind of don't want to know.
No, that's exactly right. That's our value proposition, is that there are dozens, if not hundreds, of these bispecific antibodies in development across pharma and biotech today. And virtually all of them engage with T cells through this one specific receptor that it is also present in the cells that we will activate. And so if we can show improvement of this one antibody, it won't just validate our therapeutic approach in general. It will also validate this idea that all of the potential bispecific antibodies and the companies that develop them could be potential partners for Laguna Bio.
So why are you so confident that you will show an improvement? You seem to not be, like, fazed by this whatsoever.
Yeah, that's also an incredibly good question. So we, through an investigator who is one of our advisors, have shown an extremely large increase in gamma delta T cells in people that was durable for more than 3 months, that was a result of dosing Listeria through IV in those people. And so what's really, really exciting about gamma delta T cells in the field of immunotherapy is this idea that gamma delta T cells could be a very potent anti-cancer cell type, but there just aren't enough of them in our blood today to be effective.
Hmm.
And so other researchers have shown that by showing that they can generate antibodies that target gamma delta T cells and bring them to a tumor and show tumor killing, but there just aren't enough cells and there isn't enough activation from the antibody alone to lead to potent killing.
Wait, so how have other people activated the gamma delta T cells before if they weren't using Listeria?
They haven't. They've been relying on the small number that are there in our peripheral blood.
Mm.
So they've been dosing them with an antibody that engages very specifically only the gamma delta T cells.
Mm.
And that will lead to some very small level of activation, but not enough. There are other researchers that have shown that if you do adoptive cell transfer of gamma delta T cells, and so what that means is they take blood from a donor, they isolate the gamma delta T cells, and they expand those in a lab, and then they engineer them to target a cancer antigen, and then dose those back into people. So that's adoptive transfer, taking cells from someone and then giving them back to someone else, and then in this case, they're adding a targeting molecule, that by doing all of that, they can generate potent anti-tumor responses. You can imagine that's incredibly complicated.
Yeah.
That's incredibly risky. You're taking cells from another person, you're giving them to a new person, you're making genetic manipulations to an immune cell. There's a lot that can go wrong. There's a lot of expense. There's a lot of time there that's in between when you take something from someone and give it to somebody else. There's a lot of time that that person is waiting. Our approach gets more gamma delta T cells, leads to more gamma delta T cell activation, and gets, we believe, the same amount of targeting simply by taking two things off the shelf, taking the listeria off the shelf and dosing that to you, and then taking an antibody off the shelf and dosing that to you. A much more simplified, much safer, cleaner approach that has been shown to work doing this adoptive T cell therapy. Mm.
So first of all, I want to say you mentioned 3 months, and that's a lot of time, right? When people try to activate these immune cells, especially in immune systems that are depleted, exhausted, they don't get it very long. Am I right? 3 months
Yeah.
is a lot of time?
Absolutely right. 3 months is a long time for a single population to be active without redosing. And we think we can redose and get activation even longer. And now that's something that we'll have to show in people. But in that experiment that I'm describing where we saw the gamma delta T cell expansion and activation in people, subsequent dosing of listeria led to subsequent activation and re-expansion of the gamma delta T cells. And that is incredibly rare in immune therapy. Most other cell types, if you re-expose them to that same antigen on that type of schedule, that leads to, yes, quick responses, but then like falling off a cliff. You know, the exhaustion signals are very, very strong, and we are not seeing those with gamma delta T cells. We're not seeing that exhaustion signal. And
wow. And you said you're getting way more gamma delta T cells than these adoptive cell therapy. Like, how much more?
We're getting over 1 billion cells in the peripheral blood. And what's been true in just about every form of adoptive T cell therapy is you need about 100 million cells to be dosed in order to be effective. And so we're getting tenfold more than that, at least tenfold more than that, simply by dosing with listeria.
Last part, there was another thing that you mentioned in your Killer of the Week. I don't know how much I want to get into this, but let's keep it short, because for a small biotech, this is a huge win for you. I mean, what you just said was also a huge win. This is another huge win that we're just going to, you know, piggyback onto this Killer of the Week podcast, which is you managed to save a ton of money. Tell us how.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I wonder, maybe I should have saved this one so I can get on this podcast multiple weeks in a row. But no, this is another really big deal for us. So one of the biggest challenges in biotech, and especially for young biotech companies, is this concept of choosing a clinical candidate, choosing the compound, or in our case, the organism, that you want to take forward in FDA clinical trials to evaluate efficacy and safety for an eventual new drug. The reason this is such a big challenge is that in order to administer something via IV, you have to go through a process that's called GMP manufacturing to ensure the highest quality in safety and cleanliness. This is an extremely time-consuming and extremely expensive process. In our case, this could almost a year, and it could cost over $1 million. What you don't want to do is you don't want to go forward with something that you aren't sure is the best. But the only way you can know if it's the best is if you've tested it in a person. And so it's this real catch-22 for young biotechs, because if you find a few months later, after you've started this GMP process, that you have something that's a little bit better, well, now you have to go through all of that time and all of that expense again. So what we've done is we've found what we think is going to be a much faster path and a way that we can iterate. And iterating on clinical candidates is just something that biotechs in general, and especially young biotechs, just don't have the opportunity to do. And so in discussions with an investigator and a clinician at Harvard Mass General Hospital, we've learned of a path where we can test different variants of our listeria through a skin test. The barrier for testing something on someone's skin versus administering through IV is much lower because it's a much safer, lower risk procedure. What we are going to measure with this investigator is whether the strains administered through the skin activate a surrogate immune response. So whether it's comparable to what is seen when these are dosed by IV dosing. And so in this way, we can test different strains and we can iterate on those designs to find the version of listeria that produces the best activation of gamma delta T cells in people thereby giving us the confidence to move forward with GMP manufacturing of the best strain in order to make the most effective therapeutic possible.
Okay, so I think what I took out of this is that biotechs have this risk profile where it's essentially a Hail Mary. Like, every biotech out there is a Hail Mary. They have this one path that they just want to test, and they have to find someone who's willing to put $5, $8, $10 million into their seed just to test that Hail Mary. And here you're saying, we don't have to do a Hail Mary. We can iterate, and we have a cheap way to do it because you found this investigator-led study. You can piggyback onto that, and now you can do it without this upfront cost of GMP manufacturing. And so doing it at a fraction of the cost and just scratching off GMP manufacturing completely from your budget.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Awesome. Great. Thank you so much for being on the show, Jonathan. For all you listeners out there, if you want to learn more about Laguna Bio, go to indiebio.co, search Laguna Bio, that's L-A-G-U-N-A Bio, to find out more information. Where else can they find you? Like LinkedIn?
Nowhere else.
Or you can come to 479 Jesse Street. Jonathan works out of here sometimes.
That's right. Yeah, you can find me here or UC Berkeley's campus. We're devoting all of our time and effort to proving that this works and zero of our time and effort to a website.
Love that. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you next week.